Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that means you are listening to Soul Sessions right here on the Flavor News Radio Network. I am your host, Dwayne Austin, and as always, I am happy to be here to bring you another good show. Got some good music lined up for you. My guest for tonight, Mr. Shanti Manier, will be joining us in the second half of this hour, so y'all make sure y'all stay tuned for that. And for all the folks that are listening through the archives, as always, I welcome you to join us live each and every Friday right here on the Flavor News Radio Network, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that being said, let's go ahead and get into some good music. I wanted to play this track last week, but I didn't really have time, so we're going to get this one out there right now. This is another new artist that sent me some music. It goes by the name of Sue Charles. This track is entitled Mesmerized. So y'all go ahead and check it out. And you are tuned in to Soul Sessions.
I like you. You're so cool. You're so fly. I'm always trying to catch your eye. You give me butterflies, I can't deny. I wanna be there, right by your side. You enter the room, and everyone's aware that you're there. You're so unassuming, but yet you exude quiet confidence. You know who you are, you're my own superstar. style, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk. You're so full of life, and to top it all, you're sharp as a tack. I wanna get to know you. Let's go on a date. swallow a star, etched with the possibility of me. Today, illuminated as grand constellations, live and breathe through these words, affirmations which balance deliberately upon the tip of the tongue. Sweet aromatherapy ignited by smiles, smiles that ignite the night sky. Longing to be the hand-dipped incense rolled between the forefinger and thumb, seeping into your pores, invading your bloodstream, piercing your cells with pleasurable prickling injections of deliberate, unyielding, delicate, subliminal transferences from me to you and back again, without ever uttering a single breath. I am the eternal flame, melting inhibitions of former lives, mutating into that beyond mere flesh and blood, coming full circle, unfurling into luminaries of existence. Ingest the kaleidoscopic ashes of me, digest them so that you may extract each letter one by one without demur, planting them into all immortality for eternity. And as I waft unto your most sacred places, I cannot be denied access, for I am the moral, the source, the root, the quintessence of absolute necessity. I am your mirror, conjured by incantations of desire. I am the match that lights your fire. You know who I am. You call upon me quite often, you see. I am, of course, the muse.
Like traffic in heat, or is it already Monday? Scent of you still sits like chocolate on my tongue, hungry for more of you again. Ooh, I must be going crazy. It was easy, you started over again. I don't even feel like making up right now, even though it's the best time. Could you just sit still and enjoy the moment? Forget that time is asking all the things we cannot answer. But
I will never
Welcome back, everyone. The song you just heard was Baltimore's own J Soul. Something new he just released this week is entitled Beautiful Nights. I'm digging that. It's real smooth. Really smooth. I like that. That's soul music right there. That's that slow groove, slow music at that. Anyway, before that, we had J.D. Green featuring Smoke E. DeGletta, who most probably remember from the group Player. Came out in the early 90s with here's Cheers to You. That's one of my favorite joints by them. That was really nice, too. But anyway, the title of that track was Last Night. Before that, we had Jonas with Balance on the End from his We Are In This Together CD. Before that was Miss Soulflower herself, Epiphany Castro with The Muse. Before that, we had DC's own Columbia Nights with their cover from Sade's Make Some Room. And we led that set off with Sue Charles, Mesmerized. Tonight's guest, as I did state before, is a singer-songwriter and my good friend. She's here to discuss her new CD that she is a part of, which is entitled Any Soul United. Please help me welcome to the stud. I'm just real tongue-tied tonight. Please help me welcome to Soul Sessions, Miss Ashanti Munir.
Yay!
Yay! Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Man, it's been a long time since I talked to you.
I know, since you've been up here in Boston at the Skullers show.
Yeah, that was a good show, too.
That was a great show. I still have the video, and I watch it every now and then. That was a great show.
Yeah, man, I didn't realize you had that much energy. That was like, wow.
A lot of people say that, it's amazing because usually, and then when I come off the stage, I'm sort of like, really calm and,
right.
like I am right now. But when I'm on the stage, it's just a total different me. It's the energy of the music. It's what I do. It's the energy of the crowd. It's everything all combined, So, yeah, I got a lot of energy on stage.
So I would say it's safe to assume that you draw upon that energy. And that's what keeps you going.
Draw from
the energy of the crowd.
Yes.
Just everything you discuss.
Yes, that is very important. And sometimes I even tell them that I get my energy from you guys. Or sometimes I'll say, okay, let's do this. Give me some energy. Something like that, because it really does work the way. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think other artists feel the same way too.
That's what's up, though. Before we get into Your new release, I want to give the audience a chance to learn, who you are, how you got started.
Yeah.
Just your path until, today.
Okay. Are you going to have call-in, too?
I would hope so. If anybody wants to call in, they are more than welcome. The number is 347-857-1189. Make sure that you guys raise your hand or something. I believe Blog Talk still does that. You can raise your hand to let me know that you want to speak, and we would definitely bring you in.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, so tell me, how did you get started? Huh?
I said it'd be good to hear from other people, and answer some questions if they wanted to ask me some questions. I'll be glad to do that.
True, true. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did just post that information on your fan page, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And then I reposted.
Yeah, so tell me, how did you get started? Mainly I want to know, and I don't know if I asked you this before, but, when did you know, singing is what you wanted to do?
I didn't actually know. I shouldn't say that. Because I don't know if you remember, before we did the interview that I started singing actually in my bedroom and listening to Earth, Wind & Fire and Jackson 5 and OJ's and all of the good stuff. And then, trying to sing it in front of my mirror as if I was on stage and me and my girlfriends come over and sing and just pretend and have fun, So then I went to the talent show that my girlfriend encouraged me to go to. But she said, yeah, you should sign up for the talent show and, you're really good. And I didn't think that I could sing. I didn't hear that I could sing. I love music,
Right.
But the question was, when did I start feeling that this is what I wanted to do and what drew me to wanting to be on stage and sing and perform? And I think the first time is when I realized that this is what I wanted to do, I can do that, is when I went to the movies and saw Lady Sing the Blues with Diana Ross, you know, and Billy Dee Williams. And you remember that movie?
Yeah, of course.
So I went to that movie, and I just fell in love with the movie. I think I've seen that movie, which is not an exaggeration, maybe like 25 times. And, you know, since I've seen it when I was younger, I just kept watching it over and over and over. And I watched it so much that me and my mother would just say a line in the movie, and we would know, you know, what part of the movie was at and what color dress she had on and what scene it was and everything like that. So that's how much I knew the movie and loved that movie. It was a sad movie, but it was a good movie at the same time. And when I saw her singing and the dresses that she wore and when she was singing at Carnegie Hall, I just felt that I can do that. I can do that. You know, I felt that I can do that. And this is after, I believe it was after I did the talent show. And I didn't win in the talent show, but that was my first time singing in front of everybody. And the reaction of the crowd and what I experienced, I was like, whoa, I guess, you know, something's going on here. I didn't expect the crowd to react that way. I mean, they were standing up and they're clapping and they're yelling and they brought me back on the stage. I really didn't know what was going on because I thought that I had won the talent show. I thought they won the talent show because they're screaming and they're standing up and the MC's like, you know, give her another round of applause. And my mom was there. So I'm like, okay, did I win? And then they bring me back on, you know, like, you know, give me an encore. So I wasn't sure what was going on. I was just in awe that the people reacted that way. I didn't expect them. I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect that for them to yelp and scream and stand up. And, you know, I sang Bet You by Golly Wow by Phil, you know, it's by Stylistics, but I did the Phyllis Hyman version.
Right.
So that's what I was
about to ask you that, too.
What I sang?
Yes, you were reading my mind.
I read your mind. Yeah, it's Bet You by Golly Wow, Phyllis Hyman rendition. And I love that song, too, and I love Phyllis Hyman. So I did that, and I felt that I did it well. I was pleased with my presentation, you know. So I thought that was pretty good for the first time, being in front of people, a lot of people. I mean, it was a full house, a lot of people. And I liked that energy, you know, with all the people. I was like, whoa, I think they like me.
Yeah.
That's without it.
I do understand, though. I mean, you know, I can't sing, but I did karaoke once, and, you know. Yeah, and I always say that the people must have been like really drunk because
yeah.
I thought I was horrible, but I just remember like people liked it, you know,
yeah,
and they were clapping and I sung on Luther's Superstar.
Oh. That's
yeah.
One of my favorites. I do that song, but I sort of changed it up a little bit. I made it a little bit faster. That's a good
really?
Song. And it's not Luther. Luther did it, but it was, you know, it was the Carpenters.
You know what? I do know that, but the first time I ever heard the song was Luther, and
Luther.
Truth be told, I like his version better than the Carpenters.
Yeah.
So it's like
The Carpenters were great songwriters. They were great songwriters.
Yeah.
Karen Carpenter and David Carpenter. They were great songwriters and a great team together. But yeah, Luther did do it better. But I took it from Luther's rendition, but then changed it a little bit. I made it just a little bit faster, you know, but it turned out really good.
Yeah, I think I need to hear that because I can't imagine it being faster, but I know if you're doing it, then I know it's going to be good. So
yeah,
you got
a little bit faster, just a little bit faster, you know, just a little bit faster, not, you know, completely fast, but it's just a little bit faster and a different flavor. It was my flavoring, you know.
Right.
I love that song. I love performing that song. I haven't done it in a while.
I can dig it.
So yeah.
Speaking of songs and speaking of songwriting, like
yeah.
I know you write your own songs. What inspirations do you draw from when you actually do sit down and write?
Well, I can't say I do it by myself because I have my friend Craig, who was a great lyricist and who's worked with me on all three of the CDs, and we sort of feel off of each other, and sometimes I don't really get an inspiration, but the way I work is sometimes I can listen to the music and the words will come because of what the music is saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the music sort of speaks. I don't know if that sounds weird, but it has a personality. Like some songs sound sad, and like if you listen to some music, like and it's not English, like it's a Latin music or Italian vocalist, you may not know what they're saying, but you can still feel the music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
If you listen to Bocelli or someone that's speaking another language, like say an Italian song, I like Italian songs because it got that guitar in it a lot, or Latin songs, Latin-based songs, and you don't understand what's saying, but you can say, that sounds like, you know, this talking about, you know, love or something like that. You can get an idea of what they might be talking about, even though it's not English, you know. So sometimes the music has a personality. And so I can feel the personality in the song, and then we'll say, okay, I want to talk about this, or I feel like it's saying that, or there's one song that we did on the second CD, Soul of a Woman, which is really funny because the first CD, I didn't write a whole lot because it was my first time in the studio and first time, you know, recording and all of that, so I didn't really have a lot to say. I wrote three songs on the first CD, and on the second CD, I did eight songs, so I learned a whole lot more during the second CD. But on the second CD, one of the songs was called Don't Be Afraid. And when Craig gave me the music, I connected with it right away. Right away it sounded like me. I said the music was saying, don't be afraid. And like I'm saying, do you hear the music saying that? You know, the guy says, no, I don't hear that. I said, that's what it's saying. So I ended up taking over that song and writing that one. I did that a lot on that CD. So basically, I don't really, you know, now say, okay, I'm going to talk about love, or I'm going to talk about this or that. I listen to the music first, and the music sort of guides me through what I feel through the music, if that makes sense.
I mean, if it makes sense to you, it doesn't have to make sense to anyone else. I mean, that's how you get that's how your songs get, you know, they come to fruition that way. You know, I've heard from many artists, you know, they have their own way. You know, some can, you know, write something and then put music to it. You know, whatever works for you. And, you know, touching back on what you said about music, you know, being able, you could feel what the music is saying. When you first mentioned that, the first song that I thought of was Ave Maria. And it's like, I don't have a clue, even though I took Latin, I don't have a clue what's being said in that song, but I feel it, especially
you can feel
the
it.
Version.
And especially if the person is singing it with feeling. It's like, I don't know what they're talking about, but it's moving me, you know, it's something serious. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Music can speak with, you know, speak to you. It does speak to you and reaches the soul, you know. And then when you have the lyrics, you can really reach the people because in the lyrics of the story, you know, I try to make a story out of each one of the songs, so you can reflect either to the story or you can reflect towards the lyrics. Either way, I'm trying to reach within you, you know. And I try to do the same thing when I'm performing. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to reach you, whether it's a happy song, a sad song, a love song, whatever. I'm just trying to get in there, you know. And if you get in there, you know, did your job.
I can dig it.
You know, did your job, you know.
All right, I want to talk about, you know, the new project that you're on. It's
entitled
Indie Soul United. I mean, how'd that come about? Like, how'd you guys decide to get together and come up with this compilation?
Well, like I said, I've been working with Craig for, like, I don't know, I think it's been 8 years now. And we've always been wanting to do, you know, we're indie artists, so we always wanted to do a compilation with several, well, I should say Craig. Craig really wanted to do a compilation with several independent artists. And, of course, Soul, you know, real Soul, as we would say, is one of the, you know, the first tracks that we released is I Remember When Soul Was Real. So we've been trying to do this Craig's been trying to do this for a few years. And, you know, everything costs money and time and studio time and musicians and all of that. So sometimes projects take a little bit longer. But he finally did it. He's a great lyricist. He got all the artists together. I know all of the artists. I worked with him before. They're all, you know, friends of mine, musician family. and started writing and decided to do it, you know, put our money together, put our time together. Again, we work with Felix Mwenge with 12th Note Productions as a producer and engineer. So basically we had this idea for a while, just took a while to pull it together and get the artists and write the songs and get them in the studio and all of that. And most of the songs that we've compiled together have real musicians on them, not just the studio stuff, you know?
Right. Do you find that it was easier to do this, being that, you know, you work with people that you consider your family?
Oh, yeah, much so. And they were so excited to be part of the project, you know, and be working with myself and Craig. They're really beautiful people. Chitty from London and my friend Monique Roberts, who does a lot of background vocals for me. She always says to me, you're the star, let you shine. I said, no, we're doing this together. I need you with me, you know. She's a great vocalist on her own. She harmonizes well. She knows what to do. It's really great working with her. Love her to death. And then I have, you know, Leon Beal. Leon was on my CD, my first CD. I was on his first CD. I was on his second CD. He was on my second CD. We sing together. We did weddings together. So Leon Beal is on it. He's a great guy, too. I learned a lot from Leon, performing with him early on years back. And then I have my Hannah, who's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady. I love her to death. We really interact well on stage. You saw my Hannah at the Scullers show.
Yeah, I was just about to say, right. I was just about to say, I remember her because she killed it. I was
God. And she's such a wonderful lady. And we seem like we really connect on stage because I like to work with people that, I don't want you just up there and just doing your part and not really, you know, interacting with the people. I mean, I interact with everyone that's on the stage, the piano player, the bass player, everybody. I talk to them. I look at them. I fool around and play with them on stage. I want it to be a fun experience, not just up here just to play music and that's it. You know, I talk to the people. You saw the show and what I do. I talk to you. I explain the music. You know, give them a little introduction of the music, and then we blow it away. So me and my aunt, I think we have a great connection on stage because we dance together, and, you know, she backs me up, and she's really, really great. She's a wonderful lady. And then myself, and then we have Michelle Mungo, who is a professor at Berkeley, who's so sweet and so humble and has a wonderful angelic voice. So all of those people are wonderful, and they're very supportive, and, you know, I really appreciate their time and effort. I always tell them that, and my band members too. You know, they're always backing me up, and they're always there for me. And I think I'm pretty easy to work with. You know, I'm not bossy. I'm not a diva type. I don't put you down. I don't yell at you. I just work with you as a family, as my brothers, my sisters, and we're doing these projects together.
Definitely, folks. Before I even get into this song, let me just tell you just how much of a wonderful person Miss Munir is. When I did come, you know, to Boston to see her perform at Scullers, she actually welcomed me into her home. Like, you know, she didn't really know me, yet she welcomed me into her home. And I've always, like, I won't ever forget that. Like, that, I find that, you know, it speaks a lot as to who the type of person you are. And, you know, I really appreciate that because, like I said, you really, I mean, we chatted for a bit, but you really didn't know me. So it was like,
I didn't know you, but I felt like I did know you and you were supporting me. And, you know, I looked at your pictures on Facebook. I know you could say you look at pictures and I was like, yeah, that doesn't mean you know the person. No, you don't know the person, but I had this little extra intellect that, I can look at a person and I can feel them a little bit. Doesn't mean that I know them totally, but I could feel them. And you felt like you were a decent human being, a humble person. And I thought you were a dad. You know, I don't remember me speaking that to you, talking about that. Yes, I think you're a dad. You said, I'm not a dad yet. Well, I think you're a great dad. And I just saw that, you know, in your face and in your eyes and in your pictures. And so, and then, you know, you say, well, look, you're talking about hotels and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, you know what? Why don't you just come stay with us? I mean, you don't have to worry about the hotel. You know, we got 3 bedrooms, 4 bedrooms. So So that was the right thing to do, so that just comes natural. I mean, I don't do that to everybody. I mean, nobody really stays here unless it's family, but don't think I just let anybody in the home, you know, but you felt all right, and then you said, you know, you got to bring your friend, and I said, yeah, we got to bring your friend, it's okay. So it was the right thing to do, and it turned out great, because you didn't have to worry about, you know, extra money and, you know, trying to make things work and getting the car and all of that. And then you said that you were coming to see me, you know, you coming from the Maryland, D.C. area to come see me, and you didn't have to do that. I just asked you, hey, would you come to the show? And you said, yeah, I'll come to the show. And I was surprised that you said, yeah, I'll come to the show. I'm like, really? You will? I'm like, well, I got to.
Yeah, I don't mind. Believe me, I don't mind. Anything that allows me to travel, I'm good. I'll go.
Yeah. So I said, well, I got to do the brothers, you know, help the brother out some kind of way. So that was just my way.
Yeah, but I definitely appreciate it. I mean, you know, like I said, it showed me a lot, and you know, it actually humbled me even more, because it's like, wow, like, you know, I mean, before I just get sidetracked, because I can talk about that. Let's just move on.
I know, okay.
The song is entitled "I Remember When." Like
yep.
You said, this is on the Indie Soul United compilation.
Yeah.
Did you write this song, or did you, you know, co-write? I mean, how much writing did you do with this song?
I didn't write this particular one, but Craig and Felix did this one, and then Craig sent it to me, and I listened to it. I said, oh, shoot, we done did it again. I said, oh, man, we done did it again. And that was just, you know, a little bit of it that I heard. And so I didn't have any words to it. We didn't have any lyrics. I said, what are the lyrics? You know, what is it? I got to, you know, because they wrote it for me. I said, what are the lyrics? So he sent me the lyrics, and so I listened to the music, and I did lyrics. I said, man, this is the jam right here, you know. So I was so excited that they gave this to me, you know. And so as soon as I heard it, I'm like, okay, well, in studio. Sorry, when we going to the studio? And as soon as I went to the studio, man, we blew that stuff. We blew it away, you know. We blew it away. So, and I love the storyline. And it, basically it's saying, you know, I remember when the music was good. I remember when the soul was real. It's not the music that we have now. You know, no disrespect to anybody, but this is what I feel. We don't have no more soul. We don't have no more OJs. We don't have no more, you know, Barcade Cameo Confunction. We don't have Blue Magic. We don't have, you know, Black Eye. We don't have any more of that music where the music had a message, and it wasn't raunchy, and it wasn't negative, and it wasn't calling the females out of their names. We don't have that anymore. We don't have real musicians. We don't have real bass lines. Everything's electronic. Everything is.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that 100%. The majority of the mainstream music is like that, but. In indie music, I have to admit, it still exists.
I agree, Dwayne. Don't get me wrong. I agree. I'm just talking about the stuff that you hear on the radio, the stuff that they promote. They don't.
Right.
It's not there anymore. I should have said that first. Because yeah, in the indie artists, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff, and that stuff should be on the mainstream radio. Because the music that they're playing now, I feel that it's like dumbing down America, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
I mean, music is supposed to uplift you. It's supposed to give you energy. It's supposed to give you positivity. It's supposed to give you outlook. It's supposed to give you hope. It's supposed to give you something positive. And the music that they're playing on the mainstream radio now, it's not doing that. I mean, how many positive songs do we hear, you know? Anyway, I can't even listen to the radio because it's, no radio stations that play anything good up here. I just listen to independent music and independent radio stations.
Well, I'll be the one to say it bluntly. The stuff that they play on the radio is garbage.
Okay,
simple
thank
and plain.
You.
It's garbage. I mean, and, you know, this is my opinion. I don't want anybody out there trying
exactly,
to, you know, hunt me down and, you know.
Right.
But it is. I mean, like you said, it has no substance. It doesn't talk about anything. I mean, and right. I mean, what message you do get from it is definitely not something. Yeah, you really don't want your children hearing that, but they are. Like, it just makes it worse. And, you know, But anyway, again, I digress.
And I think there's other people out there that feel the same way. You know, we just don't get to talk about it.
Right. Well, shoot, you know, we could talk about it here. I don't have a problem. We can talk about it all day.
But we're trying to stay positive. We talk about the real soul.
Right. That's what we're doing. And we're going to get into some of that right now. We're going to go ahead and play this track.
All right.
I remember when. And
I remember when music had soul.
That's right. And we will see you guys on the other side.
Here we go.
Yeah, we're gonna take you back to when soul was real.
Like the whole horn section and everything,
yeah.
Just like the lights, I see it all.
Yeah, I see the three background singers and everything. The crowd going crazy. Oh man, I can see it. We're gonna do it live on August 18th, so I'm gonna start rehearsal real soon with the background vocalist because that's the most important part, is getting that harmony right. And but I can see it though. It's gonna be videotaped and everything. So we're doing a green festival here in Boston. City Hall Plaza on August 18th. And I'm going to have a full band, you know, three background vocalists, lead guitar, saxophone player, you know, of course the rhythm section, it's going to be the bomb.
I can dig it. Hey, how many tracks are actually on this release? Because I know I don't have them all. So.
I believe it's 12.
12?
But the 12 includes two remixes. So maybe we'll say 10. 10 and two remixes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was sent about half that. I was thinking, like, you know, because I'm looking at the way they were numbered, and I'm like, okay, clearly I don't have, you know, this all of them, but I was just curious, like, man, like, how many tracks are on here? Because this looks like a whole album.
Were you going to play another one?
I am actually going to play another one.
There's two songs on there that I did co-write. It was for the London artist. Her name is Chidi, Chidi, and one is called Diamond in the Sun, and the second one is called Someone. So Craig and I wrote those together, and they're on her recently released album called Exhale, and doing very well in London.
Yeah, I actually have her in rotation on Soul City Radio. And that was before I even knew, you know, that she was friends of yours. I came across her in my research.
Yeah.
I really liked the song that she sent me.
Which one did she send you?
You know what? I have to double check that. Hold on, let me check.
Okay. Yeah, we met her on Facebook. Craig and I met her on Facebook. We started talking, and she loved, you know, what we were doing and our music and everything. She said, you know, could we write her something? We're like, yeah, we got like 3, 4, 5 songs, you know, we didn't give to nobody yet. And so she came to Boston and stayed with us I had to work, but I still was interacting with them. And they went into the studio and they did 2 or 3 songs. And one of them was Diamond in the Sun and the second one was Someone. And she did a great job on it. Even though she was jet lag and everything, she did a great job. And she was real sweet lady and very humble, and she loved Boston. So now it's on her, the songs on her CD titled Exhale. And that worked out really good. So if she does well, we'll do well.
Shoot, you'll do well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We all do well. So that's really great. So, what else do you want to ask?
I was actually trying to queue up the song so when I was ready to play it, I wouldn't have to go find it. My server here, Blog Talk server, they have their moments. We'll just say that.
Well, yeah, it's a computer.
Right.
You know, they don't do what you want them to do all the time.
True. Yeah, so I want to talk about Soul of a Woman, too, because...
Okay.
You know, I know a lot about, you know, a lot of people that do listen to this show, you know, they're learning about artists as I have them on. So I want to try to get as much information about you out there as possible.
Sure, I appreciate it.
No doubt. Now, Soul of a Woman, which I do love.
I love that.
I will say that. I do love that. I mean, you know, I know you said that's your sophomore project. I mean, you know. And I do remember you telling me that there was some time in between the first and the second release. So, I mean, one, I want to know at what point did you decide, okay, I got to do something else, so I'm going to come out with this. I mean, like, how does the title speak to you as a person? You know, all of that.
Well, I decided to come up with the second one because the first CD just took off, and I didn't expect that. I was afraid to even put it out because I'm saying, oh, is anyone going to like it? Is anyone going to play it? What if they don't like it? What if it's not good? I didn't know if it was good or bad or okay or excellent or off the chain. I didn't know. How people would perceive it, I mean, it being my first recording project. I mean, I've been singing all my life, but it's my first recording project. And so that went so well, and it was amazing. I just didn't expect that. And then it gave me a chance to meet Dai Lee from Soul Tunes Radio over there in London, Manchester, London. And she invited me to the VIP party over there. And boy, they treated me like royalty when I went over there. You would think that I was like this phenomenal recording artist, like, you know, Aretha Franklin or something like that. Didn't expect that either. Didn't expect to be the special guest at the VIP party. I thought I was like being, you know, in a group of people that are performing for the VIP party for the radio station Soul Tunes. But I was like the main guest, which I didn't know that when I went there. And the way they perceived me, I was the last person to sing for the evening. I had been up for maybe 24 hours because of the time change and the traveling and all that. And I was really tired but still had energy, which was a really weird combination. I didn't know what was going to come out of my, how my voice was going to sound, because I was really tired but I was running off adrenaline. And so I got up there, and somehow, by the grace of God, my voice was as if I had slept, you know, for 12 hours, and I was ready to go, you know. And right. The reaction was just amazing, and the CD sales were great. We had to, you know, had to keep making more CDs. The sales were pretty good. I'm not saying they're astronomical. I mean, you know, thousands of dollars, but it was flowing nicely. So I really didn't expect all of that. And so I didn't really want that to die down, you know. It's like exciting for people to love the music and to love the individual songs, Black Pearl and Honestly I Do and I'm Staying Home Tonight. And I'm Staying Home Tonight was one of the songs that, you know, went to number 4 over there in London for the year, and the album was number 8 for the whole year. And this is mixed in with the independent artists along with the, you know, seasoned recording artists. So I was part of that group when they were tallying up everything. So that was pretty amazing. So I really didn't want the excitement to end. So I said, well, we got to do this again, you know. And so we started writing right away. And like I said, the second time around, I felt more confident about writing and what to do in the studio. And I was telling the engineer what to do, but I would say, you know, should we take that part out? Or maybe you could take that part at the beginning and put it towards the end. Can you double that? You know, can you take up the effects? They said, okay, Quincy. Okay. You know, you're sitting in Quincy's chair. I said, I'm not trying to take over. I understand process now. You know, before I didn't understand how to build a song. You know, when you go in, you do the background first, and then you do the vocals, and then you do the ad-libs, then you do the harmony. I didn't know, you know, all of that. I was just being guided by Felix and Craig. But the second time around, I could hear the songs better. I could hear the harmonies better. I caught on with harmony better. I did better with my harmony second time around. So I just wanted to do it again, and I did more of the writing second time around because I just felt more confident, you know, about the music. Not totally confident, but I would say that I think I could do this. So Craig was saying, well, I got this track. Do you want to write on this one, or you want me to take this one? And then I ended up, like, taking everything that he gave me and even stuff that he was supposed to be writing on, I took it. He goes, gee, am I going to be able to write anything? I said, well, I feel it, I hear it, I guess, I feel it, I hear it, so I guess I should just write it, you know, and that's pretty much what happened. So I'm proud of that compilation, and I think it came out very well. I think I did very well second time around, and well, that's basically what happened. So I want to keep the momentum going.
There you go. I want to get into another track off of the Indie Soul United project.
Okay,
this is another one that I really like this. And I'm going to ask you about when it's going to be released and all that after we, you know, we come back. But I can't wait to hear the rest of it because, you know, what I was sent is really good. And, of course, I love your song. But this track here, it's from Nichelle Mungo. Like, it really speaks to me. At the time that I listened to it.
Okay.
Like, it spoke to me, like, really, really well back then. I mean.
Yeah.
Now, but the more I listen to it, I fall in love with this song. And, you know, I play it. I have it in rotation on my iPod.
Yeah, she's real sweet, too. She's just the sweetest of voice. I hope she's listening.
I hope so, too. If you are listening, actually, if she could call in, if she's listening and she can call in, that would be great.
Yeah, call in, Michelle, if you listen.
Yeah, let me put that number out there one more time. 347-857-1189. Yes, please call in. But, yeah, we're going to get into this. I don't know if you know any background, you know, about this song in particular. But if you do, please, it's Not Going to Run Away.
Yeah, Not Going to Run Away. Craig wrote this one as well. He's a great lyricist, as I tell you. He's been writing since he was a young guy. Basically, that's all I know. That Craig wrote this song. Michelle is a professor at Berkeley, who is a wonderful lady at that. She works a lot with Phil Perry, and she travels a lot to Japan, and she has a musical family. She wrote this, and I think she had influence in the storyline, and I believe she's talking about her husband. So that's as much as I have with that one, you know, in regard to the background of that track.
For sure. Let's get into it then. This is Not Gonna Run Away by Nichelle Mungo, and you are listening to Soul Sessions.
Oh,
kind of song right there.
That's
I like
song.
That. Yeah, I really like that.
She's a sweet lady, too.
And you said she's a Berklee professor?
Yeah. Yeah, she's
that
a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that in itself seems like that would just be like an excellent career. And she still sings?
Yeah, wow. She still sings. She
that's
sings a lot
awesome.
With Phil Perry, too, you know. And she does a lot of, she has a gospel group, too, that gets to travel over to Japan a lot. She was in Japan earlier this year.
Oh, that's cool. I know another artist that spent some time in Japan. He was, you know, he would hit me up and just tell me, you know, how things were. It's just like, I guess because I've never been, you know, I could never, like, imagine, you know, like, it being the way that he was explaining it to me. And
what
just,
was he explaining? I mean, I've never been there either. I don't even know if I want to go to Japan. That's so far
I
away.
Mean, just about, you know, how they love soul music there. And,
oh, yes,
you know,
yes,
how
yes.
he was well-received and,
yes.
you know, I mean, and he felt like a superstar walking through the
yes.
streets sometimes
yes.
and stuff like that. It's just like, man, that's crazy. Like, they get it. And
yes.
like I said,
yes.
I've
yes.
never... Yeah, I've never been there, so I would never be able to see that. Well, hopefully I'll get there one day.
It's the same way in London. They appreciated the soul music the same way. They're very, you know, they're very knowledgeable of the soul music and of the soul artists from the past and the present. So it's the same way. A friend of mine, his name is Kevin McElroy, he went over there. He's a bass player, excellent bass player. And he went over there to play with the group. And he sends me an email and he saying, yeah, I shot them over here in Japan with, you know, with the group and everything. We're doing really good. And I mentioned your name and they're saying, yeah, we know her. he said, you're crazy over here. He says, they know you over here. They got the music on their iPods and everything. He said, I was honored to know you. I said, well, wow, I didn't know all that was going on. I mean, I heard they were playing. They used to go over to Japan and Italy and Norway and Germany and all of that, but I didn't know it was, you know, that intense. I didn't know they had it on their iPods and whatnot, you know. So that was great to hear. You know, when the people buy your CD off a CD baby, they'll let you know who bought it and where they're located, you know, in the world. And sometimes it was Norway, Switzerland, Germany, Italy, Brazil. You know, so that was pretty wild.
How do you feel about that in I guess in contrast to, you know, how you're received here in the States?
I get asked that question a lot. What do I feel about it? What do I think about it? I mean, not really much you can say about it. I don't quite understand it. Like, I don't quite understand what the situation is. Like, here in Boston, you know, you got a kick down door to try to get a gig. And then over there in London, we did so well over in London. I think it's just the state of mind over here that... The hip-hop is taking over, you know, and so they don't even know what good music is anymore.
I think that's
my take on it. I'm not really sure. I could be wrong about that, but and here in Boston is a rock and roll town, you know. This is not a R&B town. You got to go out of town. You got to go away from home to even get recognition. The people that have been playing my music, it started out overseas. It didn't start here in Boston or New York or D.C. It started, you know, out of the United States. And just this time around, the third CD, the indie soul compilation, the DJs are just playing it. We got a Chicago DJ playing it, and so that's just happening now. That's you know, I've been doing the music for a long time, but that's just happening now. So. I'm not really sure, Dwayne, what that is.
I think it might not necessarily be hip-hop, in my opinion. I think it's just the commodification of music in general.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me like, you know, major record labels are gearing music to the youth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the youth don't really listen to what we listen to like that. And so I think that's why you really don't hear, you know, independent music in particular on the radio like that, because the youth don't, you know, the most, I'm not going to say the youth in general, because I do know some young people that are, like, really pioneering, independent music, and you know they're championing it. I mean, they're really supporting it, and so there are
the majority. Right. Do not listen to, I call it message music, you know, I just put that out there, message music, because it's music that you will listen to, that you can feel, not just a beat that's out there with the same, you know, words over and over again. That's not really a song, you know, with the same words, with one line that you sing over and over again, you just mix it a different way. That's not really a song. A song to me is that has a storyline, a message, just, you know, a story. I'm telling you something, you can get something from it. So
right. Not
a lot of young people listen to music like that. So I think you're right on that.
And I still believe it, but I used to say it a lot when I first got into radio, that I believe that independent artists in particular, you know, I believe we have a chance to actually change the way it's done. I mean, go ahead. I can finish.
And how do you see that? How would we make that change?
Honestly, I think. I mean, it's definitely going to take, you know, continued. You know, I'll put it this way. The benefit that independent artists have, especially with social networking, is that, you know, they can interact with their fan base directly. And I think that's what it's going to take, because the record labels, you know, they don't interact with the fan base. They only just put the information out there, and they're just going to put something small, like, you know, such and such has a new release, go here, and here to get it. But when independent artists have this direct contact with their fan base, I mean, they can interact with them. They could actually, you know, let these people in, show them what type of person they are, you know, show them just how much, you know, they put into the music, and those who really appreciate what they're doing as people will come to appreciate what they're doing as artists. And I think once, you know, there's a groundswell of that in independent music, and it's actually happening. It's happening. I don't want to say it like it's not, because it is.
It is happening, and I think it's through the social media that's making
right.
that change. You know, because you got the Twitter, and you got the Reverb Nation, you got CD Baby, you got MySpace, you got Facebook. So all of that is, and you have to pretty much do it on your own. You know, I'm trying to get a hang of this social media thing, and you have to constantly be on your phone or on the computer. I'm not really that type of person to be on the computer all the time, but I'm finding that you need to be on there some of the time to make this thing work. You know. So it's through this new social media that the music situation is going to change.
Right. And, you know, just to cap that off, it's like once that happens, you will pretty much make the record labels obsolete, at least the major record labels. I still believe in the record label itself because, you know, it's good to have people that are investing their time and energy into,
right.
you know, you doing what you got to do.
Right, you can't do everything by yourself. You really can't. You can't. You can do the social media. You can do your own, you know, flyers and websites and all of that. But you do need people that have the connections and that can get you a little bit further than, you know, just your social media. That's what I'm finding, and that's what I'm working on next. I don't need to get the connections. Need to find the right people, the right quote unquote white people, right. people to take it to the next level and to get more exposure, and that's been the most difficult part right now, you know, finding the right people and to get that extra exposure, and that's mainly what I want to do, you know, and when I say by exposure, not just playing the music on the internet radio stations, but out there performing live at shows,
right.
festivals, things of that nature.
Oh yeah, I can definitely dig it. Even in that, like, it's going to take, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just going to take, like you said, you know, having the right connections. And, you know, picking and choosing your battles, because you don't want to overexert yourself and just try to do it all, like, as much as you can. I mean, I believe, and I'm not an artist, so I would never, you know, try to tell an artist what to do, but I believe that, you know, less is more sometimes. So it's like you don't want to you know, you want to just, you want to make sure that, you know, if you're going to perform, you perform at the right things.
Yeah, yeah, you just don't pick anything. You just can't pick
right.
anything. And you gotta be respected as an artist too. There was one place that wanted me to perform, and I was going to perform there. But then I thought about it, and the money wasn't right for the time that they wanted me to do it, and where it was located, and the energy that it took to get down there, and you know I wasn't gonna bring my band members down there and do all this work, and then you don't want to really give me hardly anything. You want me to do it for free. Now I'm not saying that I won't do things for free or for charity or to give up my talent. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. But like you said, you got to pick your battles, and that wasn't a good one to take, so we just had to decline on that. I mean, it sounded like it was going to be good, but not when you got to put so much energy out and you had to travel, you know, four to 6 hours. You have to set up, you know, break down, and it just didn't seem like it was worth the time and the effort and to bring the band members into that situation. You want me to have them on the road for like 6 hours and give them $100. I can't do that. You know, that's
You're
not
right.
right. That's not right. I'm not going to listen to my guy. So we had to decline. And then this one that's coming up August 18th. Now, this is going to be a perfect setting. It's going to be in our hometown. We don't have to bring any of our instruments. We got the back line. It's going to be like, you know, thousands of people there. They got the stage set up. It's in downtown. So that's perfect for a setting to promote your music and to show Boston, you know, what you're working with, pretty much, you know.
Right.
So, like you said, you do have to pick your battle. Just can't play everywhere because you want to play. And the same thing with the clubs, too. I mean, I want to get out there. I want to perform, but not every situation is a situation, and not all money is good, you know.
That is true. That is true. Oh, man, like, yeah, it's just, I really believe that, you know, like I was saying, you know, it can be, you can change the game. You can change the way it works. I mean, and you can even see it now to an extent because, like, I've noticed in this area, I've noticed that there are certain radio stations that, you know, they're actually starting to play some independent music. And there are certain stations that have always done it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're really...
I thought they weren't allowed to do it. I thought that was a difficulty. They weren't allowed to do that.
I wouldn't, you know, I mean, that's probably the case, but that which lends to my point. I think these radio stations are now starting to see that this is, you know, this is the music. Because, I was on Twitter the other day, and someone mentioned that indie is the new major. And at first it was like, what? But then I thought about it. It's like, yeah, when you really think about it, it is becoming a new major because...
Yeah. You know whose slogan that is?
No, I don't.
It's Dr. Celicia. Celicia Johnson.
Really?
Selena Johnson's sister.
Oh, okay. I did not know
That's her slogan, and she got T-shirts and everything like that. She produces her sister, so it's the Selena Johnson, who has a new album out, and she's going to be on the show Divas, R&B Divas. So, and the reason why she did that, because her sister was with a major label company, and, you know, they try to use you and abuse you and, you know, take your money and all that. So that's why they decided to go independent and do their own thing. And so she's doing very well independent because she got people backing her. And plus she's a Grammy nominee. So, you know, she got it going on. She's in the next level where I'm trying to get. So that's what, and they got T-shirts that say the indie is the new major. Yeah, that's Dr. Celicia's Johnson's slogan.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get one of them T-shirts then because I really like that.
Yeah, she's on Facebook. Look around. She'll tell you where to get it. She's on there sporting a T-shirt.
I am going to do that right now, as a matter of fact.
Felicia, S-Y-L-E-C-I-A, and doctor at the Dr. Felicia. She's a professor in New York. And her sister is Selena. And they're going to do the new show that's coming out, I think. Oh, I guess it was tonight. New show on TV One, I believe. R&B divas with her sister Selena and Kiki Wyatt and Faith Evans and another sister. You looking it up now?
I was, actually.
Yeah.
I was. I can't really find it, so I'm going to have to do that a little later.
Yeah, do that later. You'll find her on there. That's what I was talking about her. I'll send her a message tomorrow. I'll tell Dr. Sleepy we're talking about her on the interview.
Yeah, that's what's up. Before I let you go, though, I do want to play one more track, but
okay.
I want to also give you a chance to, put anything else out there that you feel you need to put out there, and the floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate you having me on again and supporting the independent artists and supporting me personally, and whoever is listening, I urge you to go on YouTube and check out my videos. You can go on YouTube and search Lady Munir, which is LadyMunir, and that's one word. Check out some of the videos. And if you would like to go on Facebook also, like my fan page, I have 982 friends. And I figured with 982 friends that I would have more, support when I go out and do live shows, but I don't have that. So I encourage you to come to the shows, check out the live performance, and of course buy the CDs on Amazon, iTunes, Rhapsody, and CD Baby. And thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate it.
For sure, no doubt. And what I'm going to play is off of your sophomore project, Total Woman. And This is another song that I really like. I mean, I'm sure you know. You got to know where I'm going.
What?
Really? You don't know? I'm talking about Until You.
Oh, I guess I misunderstood what you said. You were talking about Soul of a Woman, and then you said something else.
No, I was saying I really like this track.
Yeah, Soul of a Woman.
Oh, so I'm mistaking? So Until You isn't on that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought you were saying you're going to play Soul of a Woman, which is the track on that CD. But you're saying you're going to play a track from Soul of a Woman, correct?
Right, right.
All right, and it's going to be Until You.
Yes. Now I'm saying that. Am I correct? It is on that CD, right?
Yes, it is. It's the third song on the CD. It's the third song. And that song is really amazing. I had a hard time with it, pulling it together and figuring out how I wanted to sing it and the background vocals. I had a hard, difficult time pulling together and feeling it. But once it got pulled together and Felix helped me out with the harmony and the background, it was my favorite song. I mean, even when I was working on it, sometimes when you work on music and you hear it over and over and over and over, it's like, oh my God, I don't want to hear that song ever again in life, But that wasn't the case. Every time it came up, I turned the song up. I was like, this is my favorite. And I sing it often at so many different places now, because you can look at it as a love song or you can look at it as a gospel song. So it sort of has like it's a two-dimensional song, If you listen to the words, it could be two-dimensional, depending on how you look at it or what you need it for, depending on how the person reads into it, But either way you look into it, it's a real positive song. I think it's inspiring, and it gives a lot of hope and faith. And I really had a good time recording it. I'm glad it's on there, and I'm glad we wrote it. So it's a beautiful song, Until You. And there's a video, too. There's a video to it.
Yes, on YouTube. You can go check that out.
Yeah, that's a great video, too.
As a matter of fact, I believe I have that in the Soul City Radio video. I don't know what to call it. I've gathered a bunch of videos together that I've
put on.
Yes, the Soul City Video Archives. It is in there.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to go to my YouTube page and check that out, you can. And we're going to get into the song. And Ms. Munir, I thank you for taking time out of your Friday night to come hang with me, and hopefully if I ever get up to Boston again, I can catch you perform, or I can get you to come down here.
Well, I was just getting ready to say that, so invite me down,
Oh, of course.
We can come down there and do something, you got, are you, do you get to do live performances or go to a club or have special guests or something like that from your show?
I'm working on something, and that's what I was referring to. I don't want to talk about it yet. I'm really just waiting for the final go-ahead from the venue, and, you know, once we get that, which I actually should know something sometime this week coming up, and we'll really start promoting that. And then
all you got to do is call me and tell me when. You know, I'll come down and support you.
For sure.
Yeah, just let me know when.
I will, and tell your husband I said hi.
Okay. he was in the room with me as we were on the phone, but he's laying down, so I got out the room. Let me say it one more time.
I said, yeah, if you can hear me, Carl, hi. I just wanted to say hi.
he's Adrian. How's it going? he's been up all day. He's had a long day, but he was listening to some of the interview. So thanks a lot. We appreciate that. And whenever you get it together and whenever you get to go, you know, the green light to go, I'll be your first guest.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That is what's up.
Guarantee. All you got to do is say the word.
I got you. I'm definitely going to do that because you got to come down here. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, you got my number.
For sure. All right, man. Well, you enjoy your Friday, and I'm going to ahead and get through this last 20 minutes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jane. I'll talk to you real soon.
All right. You're welcome.
Night.
Bye-bye. Yes, that was Ms. Ashanti Munir. Like I said, I'm going to get into a track from her sophomore project, which is entitled A Soul of a Woman. This is Until You. It's a really nice cut, so y'all enjoy this. That was tonight's guest, LaShawn Veneer, with Until You. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out to listen this evening. If you want some more good music after I get off the air, I welcome you to tune into Soul City Radio. That is my station, www.soulcityradio.com, and get some good music 24/7. And we are going to ride this out. And I don't have a guest next week, but I will be playing some good music as always, so make sure you tune in next week. And on that note, I am out of here. We're going to kick this last set off with Marshall Titus. This is Fallen Leaves. And deuces. That we know.